Good afternoon, 4:30 and 82 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
This is not your case where someone's got mad at somebody else, you shot them, there's a witness, two witnesses. It is very, very, very different.
Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine says the probe into the murder of a Pike County family may take a while.
An Ashland woman is found dead following a fire this morning.
Work continues in Greenup County to improve State Route 23 ahead of the opening of the new Ironton-Russell Bridge.
In sports, Tom Brady's battle with the NFL is not over.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Clear tonight with lows in the lower 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The Ashland Independent is reporting that a 59-year-old Ashland woman was found dead in her home this morning following a fire. The victim's name has not been released. The blaze is said to have broken out around 7:30 at the residence in the 1100 block of Second Circle, just off Prospect Avenue. Fire Chief Scott Pennick tells the paper the woman was found in her bedroom. He says an attempt to perform CPR was unsuccessful. The cause of the blaze is under investigation.
The trial date has been set for the case involving the death of a 3-month-old Boyd County infant. WSAZ reports Ashland residents Leslie Daniels and Nora Sawyers are accused in the murder of Landon Daniels. He was found unresponsive June 10th of last year and died 2 later at Cabell Huntington Hospital. Police allege the infant died as a result of injuries inflicted by Leslie Daniels. Daniels and Sawyers are both charged with murder and will go to trial in September.
Investigators working the execution-style slayings of a Pike County, Ohio family last Friday say it's likely to be a time-consuming probe. Pike Sheriff Charles Reeder says the killings of 8 members of the Roden family were methodical and carefully planned. He says the 4 locations where bodies were found have been secured and evidence continues to be collected. Reeder says this is the largest murder investigation in the county's history.
I want everybody to be patient, but understand that we are working around the clock, 24 hours a day, working on every lead that comes in, all the tips, conducting the interviews. We will provide information as we can, but this is going to be a very lengthy process.
Reeder spoke during a press conference Sunday afternoon. He declines to say whether the investigation extends into other states.
Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine is asking for the public's assistance in the apprehension of the person or persons responsible for the 8 murders Friday near the Pike-Adams County line. He says investigators need all the information they can get, regardless of how insignificant it may seem.
We want people to help out. We want them to come forward. We again say to the public, there's somebody out there who knows information. And even if you think it may not be that helpful, but you think it might be helpful, we would ask them to come forward, and we will, preserve the secrecy of their comments to us.
DeWine says over 100 tips have come in so far, and more than 50 interviews have been conducted. He says 18 pieces of evidence have also been turned over to the state crime lab.
The Rowan County Fiscal Court last week gave its initial okay to a $9.4 million county budget for the next fiscal year. It starts on July 1st. If enacted on its second reading next month, Judge Executive Walter Blevin says the new spending plan will not give county employees pay raises. He's disappointed about that.
They get out in the middle of the night, many of them do, and go out and risk their lives to make sure our roads are clean and paved. Do the mowing and making sure that people can see around the curves, that type of thing. It's important that we keep those good county employees, and I think to do that, sometimes you have to pay them a little extra and you have to give them a raise. Hopefully we'll see that in the future, if not this year, maybe next year.
Blevin says the magistrates were against giving salary hikes to county workers because of concerns about paying for Rowan's new jail and potential road improvements.
The $21 billion budget approved by the Kentucky legislature earlier this month is the most politically and financially responsible state spending plan in a long time. Those are the words of Kentucky Chamber of Commerce President Dave Adkisson. He appeared Sunday on KET's One to One with Bill Goodman.
Primarily because it was built around the pension crisis, and that problem had to be acknowledged. So we think the budget that's been passed will send a very strong signal to Wall Street that Kentucky is getting its house in order, that we're addressing head-on the pension problem that we've got, that we plan to honor our commitments to our retirees and our state and local workers and teachers.
Adkisson calls Kentucky's 2016 legislative session a productive one.
The director of Kentucky's Center for Economic Policy agrees that the state's new budget puts Kentucky on a track to pay down its pension liability. However, Jason Bailey says it comes at a significant cost.
The problem is the sacrifices that are required, were required in this budget to make that, are substantial. I mean, you talk about higher ed, for example, 4.5% cuts. That means that higher education institutions will have been reduced, their funding reduced by 31% since 08 by the end of 2018. So that's a decade where we have almost a third of higher ed funding that the state makes has been cut out.
Bailey also spoke Sunday on KET. He's quick to add services for aging and independent living, behavioral health, and environmental protection were also cut in the new budget.
Attorney General Andy Beshear is now calling for an investigation of Governor Matt Bevin. Will Clark reports.
The Attorney General is asking the Executive Branch Ethics Commission to investigate if Bevin is using campaign contribution records as grounds for firing state employees. Beshear's retort in the ongoing feud between the two comes days after Bevin announced his intent to investigate corruption claims out of the Beshear administration using a cabinet secretary that reports directly to him. Beshear says that investigation should be handled by the Executive Branch Ethics Commission. A spokesman for the governor's office welcomes the parallel investigation. I'm Will Clark.
Even though the legislature approved 11 projects for Rowan County and the state's new three-year road plan, a spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says there's no guarantee that any of them will happen. According to Alan Blair, their fate is up to Governor Bevin, who has the option to sign off on all or part of the plan. Blair adds that the future of all those planned projects will likely depend on their funding sources.
Several of these projects are ongoing, so you know we would expect several projects to that we've been working on to move forward. But it just you know we're just going to have to wait until we see what the funding categories are and what you know how the funding has been approved by the General Assembly and the governor's office. And at that point, we'll know more specifics about what's going to happen in the future.
Among the projects in the plan, the widening of Kentucky 801 near the MMRC Industrial Park out to State Route 158 and the reconstruction of Kentucky 32 from Park Hills to Viking Drive.
Traffic changes are taking effect on Route 23 in Kentucky as construction on the new Ironton-Russell Bridge continues. The $81.3 million replacement project in Lawrence County includes the construction of a new signalized intersection to connect the four-lane road to the bridge. Ohio Department of Transportation spokeswoman Kathleen Fuller says the construction will be completed in stages.
This portion of the project will be going on through the summer. We anticipate the roadway intersection to be reconstructed probably by the first part of August. Now, having said that, I also want to caution people that does not mean that they'll have access or a green light, so to speak, to the new bridge. The bridge is not slated for completion until later this year.
During construction, southbound Route 23 will be restricted to one lane, while the northbound side will be shifted north. Fuller recommends that travelers exercise caution when driving through work areas.
The Daily Independent plans to host its first mayoral debate in Ashland Thursday. Xavier Atkins reports.
According to the newspaper, the debate will take place at the Transportation Center. The three primary candidates are Ashland Community and Technical College professor Warren Howard, incumbent mayor Chuck Charles, and Ashland Schools Superintendent Steve Gilmore. Primary election day is May 17th, and voters will choose which two of the three candidates who will compete for the mayor's job in the general election in November. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I am Xavier Atkins reporting.
Governor Bevin has reappointed Ashland attorney Kimberly McCann to another term on the governor's post-secondary education nominating committee. The 7-member panel submits recommendations to the governor to fill vacancies on the governing boards of the state's 8 public universities, as well as the Community and Technical College Systems Board of Regents and Council on Post-Secondary Education. Her term expires in April 2022. McCann also serves on the boards of directors for the Health Foundation of King's Daughters Medical Center and the Paramount Arts Center. Her law firm specializes in government relations, education, and environmental issues.
Mayor Jim Tom Trent thinks the city and county will have to pony up if they want to find a new full-time executive director for the Morehead-Rowan County Economic Development Council. Many believe money has been the main problem in trying to end the nearly 2-year search to find a replacement for Brett Traver. For that reason, city and county officials are considering increasing the annual salary for the job from $65,000 to $75,000. Trent admits that may be the only way they can draw quality applicants to the job.
That's the thing. You have to understand, in order to get somebody with experience, we're probably going to ask them to leave another position to come here. Or they may be recently retired from a position. We don't know. But if you want to get positioned, if you want to fill the position with experience, you pay for that experience. You know, someone with experience is not going to come in and go on the low end. So, again, it's what the market, it's driven by that.
Former banker Terry Enser continues to be the director on an interim basis.
When he started it about 4 years ago, Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles wasn't sure what to expect. That's when he launched a program called Walk with the Mayor, an initiative designed to promote physical fitness and improve relations with various neighborhoods at the same time. On select Saturday mornings, Charles would walk with citizens from different parts of town, and they could tell him about problems in their communities. The mayor says all he's ever asked of the participants is that they keep up with him for an hour.
The people that show up for these walks are not your typical person that comes to the city hall to complain. I remember one of the neighborhoods that needed a stop sign. There was a 4-way crossroad there with no stop sign. How many years has that been there and no one's done anything about it? But it was those neighbors that brought it to my attention. So it's been very positive.
Charles says his Walk with the Mayor program resumes this Saturday in South Ashland. He says anyone who wants to be part of it should show up at 9 a.m. at Oakview Elementary School.
Maysville, Mason County Chamber of Commerce Director Vicki Stiegletter is sorry Kmart's parent company has decided to close its store along U.S. 68. However, she says it's a terrific spot for a retail outlet, and she thinks another company will move into the space when Kmart is gone. Stiegletter also believes the remaining stores in the shopping center will survive.
With the theater being next to it, I don't think that will hurt that. That's the one theater in town, so people will still go. There's a Subway and a Mexican restaurant and different stuff. I think that those draw their own clientele, and it won't have anything to do with whether or not Kmart is there.
Kmart is also closing its Paintsville store.
A groundbreaking takes place in Maysville tomorrow afternoon to celebrate improvements to the Mulberry Community Gardens. That's the 1,400-square-foot space behind the Mason County Public Library, where citizens are growing fresh produce and flowers. Carrie Taylor is an adult agriculture instructor at Maysville Community and Technical College, and she spearheaded development of the gardens 4 years ago. Recently, she says, Mason County High School senior Ron LaForge and members of his Boy Scout group decided to upgrade access to the area as part of a project to earn an Eagle Scout badge.
He provided a walkway and did a lot of structural work for that pathway and that walkway. They set the pavers in. They did a lot of excavation work.
Taylor says there are now 7 raised beds in the garden. Tomorrow's groundbreaking is at 5 p.m. Turning now to a quick look at the weather forecast. Tonight it'll be mostly clear. We'll see lows around 60 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms with highs around 78 degrees. It's currently sitting at 84 degrees in Ashland, 81 in Flemingsburg, 83 in Inez, 84 in Lexington, and it's 82 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:45, the groundbreaking for the new Rowan campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College took place last week. Our Tanner Boyd was there.
All right, everybody ready on three. You ready? One, two, three.
That's the sound of state, local, and Kentucky Community College officials breaking ground for the Rowan MCTC campus at the John Will Stacy, Menifee Morgan, and Rowan County Regional Business Park. Dozens gathered in the crowd to celebrate the event over a decade in the making.
Well, this is a tremendous project, not only for this community, but also for the entire region. This is a $28 million facility, an investment that's been worked on for some time now that will, in my opinion, help educate and train the workforce of the future.
That was Kentucky House Majority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins, who also spoke during the ceremony. The president of the Kentucky Community and Technical College System was also there. Jay Box says the new campus is going to go a long way for the area.
It's going to provide training in the technical programs that are much needed in this area, replacing an older facility that has served this area well. But this new facility will be state-of-the-art and will prepare graduates to go right directly into the workforce, especially in fields such as advanced manufacturing and other areas that will help recruit more jobs and more companies to this area.
And that's what everyone is especially excited about with the new 91,000-square-foot facility. Russ Ward is the director of the Rowan campus for MCTC.
What this is going to do is basically allow individuals to not only learn the processes of manufacturing, but also give some of them the ability to go in to any type of industry and troubleshoot problems and basically keep that business up and running.
While Kentucky is renowned for producing cars like the Corvette and Camry, its number one exports are actually in the aeronautics and aerospace industry, and is third in the country overall behind California and Washington. And Adkins says that's why the facility is going to do so much for the area.
And to be able to train those who work on the assembly line to make the pieces and parts that's making airplanes around the world, you know, I'm talking about subject matters now that I never thought I'd be talking about 5 years ago. But if we really want to talk about diversifying the economy of our region of East Kentucky, then, you know, we got to look to the future. And the Center for Advanced Manufacturing is exactly where it's at.
However, the road to groundbreaking day wasn't an easy one. Ward says with funding tied up around the state, community colleges had to do their part to procure the money.
They had to raise 25% of an investment from the community. And then the other 75% would be raised through agency bonds. Since ours was the largest project at $28 million, we had to raise $7 million in a year. And we accomplished that last November. We did it in a little less than a year.
And Adkins says that really shows what's important to the area community.
And I think that's what's historic about this project is this community and this region has shown its commitment to education by raising $7 million of public-private money to match with the $21 million from the state.
Terry Enzer is the interim director of the Rowan County Economic Development Council. He says the facility is exactly what growing industries are looking for.
When we recruit industry, one of the things they look for is someone that can train their workforce. And the Rowan campus has always been really good at that, and they'll continue to be doing a really good job at that now that they'll have a bigger facility, more facilities, and more machinery to do that with. And so we're really excited about it, and we think that'll help us to recruit companies to this park.
Construction is expected to wrap up in fall 2017, with classes beginning in spring 2018. For Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Tanner Boyd.
4:49, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Mike has sports. He's up right now.
Not so fast, Brady. Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Michael Gustin. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady may not be off the hook just yet in relation to the Deflategate case. Warren Levinson has the latest.
The three-judge panel overturned a ruling made on the eve of the 2015 football season that threw out Brady's punishment in the Deflategate case. Judge Richard Berman had found that the NFL cheated Brady of a proper chance to appeal his four-game suspension, but the appeals court says Commissioner Roger Goodell was justified in suspending the Patriots quarterback, which means Brady may have to sit out the first four games of the 2016 season. It's also likely to reignite the controversy over what role Brady played in the underinflation of footballs in the 2014 AFC Championship game played 15 months ago. Warren Levinson, New York.
Former Cleveland Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel will be indicted tomorrow on allegations that he attacked his ex-girlfriend in January. Manziel's attorney made the comments and also said he expects a family assault charge to be filed as well. The Class A misdemeanor carries up to 1 year in jail and a $4,000 fine. Ray Graham is out after two seasons as the head football coach at Rowan County Senior High School. Principal Ray Ginter says Graham was given a letter informing of the district's decision on Friday. The coach was suspended in late February after it was announced he was being investigated by the State Office of Education Accountability regarding unspecified allegations. Ginter would not confirm if the results of the OEA's probe caused Graham's ouster. He did, though, call Graham's a top-notch individual.
Coach Graham's character should have never been under question. You know, there's nobody out there that can say that he's not a fine person. I know, you know, there was some speculation on religion. Maybe some mistakes were made when he first signed up, but since then he's followed the letter of the law, and things have gone pretty smoothly.
Graham leaves Round County after two seasons and a 7-14 overall record. The search for his successor will begin immediately. According to Bowling Green television station, a star athlete from Ashland Blazer High School has been arrested on multiple charges following a traffic stop early Sunday. WBKO reports that 18-year-old Quentin Baker is held in the Warren County Regional Jail on charges of driving while intoxicated, possession of marijuana, having an open alcoholic container inside a motor vehicle, and failure to produce an insurance card. Police say Baker, who was a standout running back for the Tomcats football team, was stopped for driving erratically on the University Boulevard on the Western Kentucky University campus. Baker enrolled at WKU in January. A member of the Morehead State football team defensive unit says it was a mission accomplished for his group during the Eagles' recently ended spring practices. According to sophomore cornerback Braylon Cook, despite having several new faces, MSU's defenders really came together during the 4 weeks of workouts.
I feel like the goal of the defense was to get everybody to know their assignments and, you know, to get used to the defense because we have a bunch of young players, and I felt like it showed.
After working as a backup the last two seasons, Cook is expected to take over Morehead's cornerback spots next fall. Cincinnati Reds will be in the Big Apple tonight for a 7-10 contest against the Mets. After dropping three of four weekend games at home to the Cubs, manager Brian Price club is hoping to get things turned around.
You know, going into New York, it's going to be a great atmosphere playing the National League champs and getting after it and looking for better results.
The 9-10 Redlegs will have Raisel Iglesias on the mound. He's 1-1 so far this year. The Mets will counter with 2-0 Noah Syndergaard. Morehead State baseball team enjoyed a good weekend. With the help of Sunday's 11-2 victory, MSU won two of its three games at SIU Edwardsville. Coach Mike McGuire says the Eagles were good in all three phases of the game, but adds his hurlers deserve a lot of credit.
Can't say much enough about how we pitched this weekend. You know, giving up four runs the entire weekend. You know, credit to our pitching staff. I thought, you know, we got good relief appearances.
At 10-8 in the OVC, the Eagles are just one game behind fourth place Belmont. MSU will be at home Wednesday evening to face West Virginia Tech in non-conference play. Also from Morehead State Baseball, sophomore pitcher Aaron Leisher has been named the Ohio Valley Conference Pitcher of the Week for the second time this year. Leisher threw his second complete game shutout of the year against SIUE on Saturday. He recorded a career-high 15 strikeouts against the Cougars. Bath County's new boys basketball coach says he can't wait to get started. Bart Williams is taking over the Wildcats after 11 seasons and 192 as the head coach at Pikeville High School. Williams says he felt like he needed a change, adding that he knew after his interview at Bath it was the place for him.
You just kind of have to see it for yourself. You just have to come and see the school and the land and just talk to the people, and they're just easygoing and kind of laid back. And, you know, it's just kind of a different type atmosphere than what I'm used to here at Pikeville.
Williams will be trying to turn around a Bath County program that's won only 13 games his past two seasons under former coach Sean Noble. From the NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers have fired head coach Byron Scott. Scott served as LA's head man for the past 2 years and had a 38-126 record. In playoff action tonight, the Oklahoma City Thunder can advance to the next round over Dallas with a win. Also, the Miami Heat will visit Charlotte in Game 4 of the series, and the Clippers visit Portland for Game 4. In the NHL playoffs tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues will play Game 7 on the Western Conference side to advance in the playoffs, while Anaheim will look to advance with a win over Nashville in Game 6 tonight. And finally, in sports today, the Breeders' Cup is returning to its old Kentucky home. Churchill Downs and Breeders' Cup officials announced today the race, known for featuring the greatest horses and rich purses, will return to the iconic Twin Spires in 2018. The Louisville track has hosted the Breeders' Cup 8 times, most recently in 2011. For more at State Public Radio Sports, I'm Michael Gustin reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Baseball hosts West Virginia Tech at 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Austin Peay for 3 games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets and more information available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed slightly lower, with energy leading decliners and defensive sectors among the leaders. This ahead of major central bank meetings and earnings reports due later in the week. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 26.51 after earlier being down more than 100 points. And the blue chip average finished at 17,977.24. The S&P 500 was down 3.79 at 2,087.79, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 10.44 at 4,895.79. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 2-1 in favor of losers over winners. Consumer staples, telecoms, and utilities were the top S&P sectors, while energy closed down almost 1.1% lower as the greatest laggard. And, of course, oil prices today did drop down, with crude futures in the U.S. settling down $1.09 at $42.64 a barrel. Shares of Microsoft and Alphabet, and of course Alphabet is Google's parent, both of these closed about 0.6% higher after plunging more than 5% Friday, when the NASDAQ Composite itself fell nearly 1% in Friday's trading. And of course, late last week, Microsoft and Alphabet reported earnings that were considered disappointing by the street. Private equity firm KKR reported its second loss in quarterly earnings in less than a year, as volatile financial markets dragged on the value of its investments, and the stock closed 3% lower. And Halliburton said it cut 6,000 jobs in the first quarter, and the oilfield services giant delayed its earnings report from Monday morning to next month as it works on clearing regulatory hurdles for its planned merger with rival Baker Hughes. Shares of Halliburton fell nearly 2%, while Baker Hughes declined almost 3%. Overseas, Asian stocks closed lower, with the Nikkei 225 off almost 0.8%, and in Europe, stocks ended about 0.5% lower or more, with bank stocks underperforming. Among S&P 500 winners today, Time Warner Cable was up 4%, and Seagate Technology was up almost 4%, and your losers included Perrigo, the drug company whose CEO actually left to take over Valeant, and Perrigo was down 18% today, and Xerox finished with a loss of 13% in today's trading. Turning now to stocks of local interest, Ashland Incorporated was down $1.77 at $114.07, CSX down 39 cents at $27.14, AEP up 8 cents at $62.82, AK Steel down 35 cents at $4.54, Marathon Petroleum down 28 cents at $41.18, and Kroger was up $1.20 to finish at $36.78. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning again to a look at the weather forecast for this week, we're going to see some more rain. Tonight, it's mostly clear with lows in the mid-50s in the valleys and lower 60s on the ridges. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of isolated showers and thunderstorms. Highs around 78 degrees. Tomorrow night, it'll be mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of rain, and lows around 60. It's currently sitting at 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that brings the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Baraz, Tanner Boyd, Ellen Barnett, Jordan Simonson, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Michael Gustin, Sean Delaney, and Xavier Atkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.